At the very end of the fifth and final book that Moses the Beloved penned, we have the Song of Moses. And the reason why we say it's a song is because that's what it says in Deuteronomy 31:30. It says, "And Moses spake in the ears of all the congregation of Israel the words of this song until they were ended." And it spans the 32nd chapter. Actually, the whole of the content of this song is the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And oh, what a glorious chapter that is. But right before that, in the last verse of chapter 31, we just read that this is the Song of Moses. And this song concerns and is a summation of the salvation of God, His work among His beloved people. We're going to read a portion of that song, not the whole song, in just a moment. We should and must remember that this is written to God's people. Everything we read of the children of Israel was pointing to Christ and to His perfect salvation that He would later come and accomplish and bestow upon His beloved people, the body of Christ, which is called in Galatians 6:16, the Israel of God. And so this Song of Moses is actually written also to us. That would be us, the saints of Christ, under the new covenant, Romans 15:4. "For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Romans 15:4. And I want to encourage you to read the book of Deuteronomy for sure. Very glorious. And that's where we're reading today, mainly in the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy, where we have Moses' song, and it concerns the favor of the Lord upon His people. One writer notes concerning this Song of Moses that it is the sevenfold preservation of Israel. When you see Israel, you know that means the people of God. In fact, Galatians 6:16 says that the body of Christ is the Israel of God. Galatians 6:16. This Song of Moses speaks about how God found Israel in the wilderness. He led him around. He instructed him. He kept him as the apple of His eye, which speaks of the love of God for His people. It's an idiom speaking of great affection from God to His people. This Song of Moses speaks of how God preserved Israel from idolatry, exalted him among the nations, and gave him material prosperity. In this song, beginning in the 10th verse of Deuteronomy 32, we read that He found him, God found Israel in the desert, in a desert land, and in the waste, howling wilderness. And that's the salvation you and I have experienced in Christ, is that He found us. We didn't find Him. He found us. And we were blessed to oblige, if you will. As many as received Him, to them gave He power, or the power to become the sons of God. And Jesus told us in John 6:44, "No man can come unto me except the Father which hath sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." John 6:44. How about John 12:32? Jesus tells us, "And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." So God initiates, He provided the perfect sacrifice to bring us back to Himself, and He draws us, and we respond. So as Israel was found in a desert land, so you and I were found in the desert land of our sin, in this waste, howling wilderness world of sin. The Lord stepped in and found you and found me. And then He led him, or Israel, about. He instructed him. So as we are saved by the Lord, He brings us to repentance. We do choose to repent and believe on Christ. Then He begins to instruct us, and we continue in His word. As we continue in His word, we're going to be made free and freer. Just like the Jews who believed on Him in John 8, Jesus said, after they had believed upon Him, after He had found them, "If you notice, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. John chapter 8. So then he instructed Israel, and that's according to his word. His word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. He kept him, that is, his people, as the apple of his eye. As an eagle stirreth up her nest, fluttereth over her young, spreadeth abroad her wings, taketh them, beareth them on her wings. So the Lord alone did lead his people Israel. And there was no strange God with him. He made him ride on the high places of the earth, that he might eat the increase of the fields. And he made him to suck honey out of the rock, and oil out of the flinty rock, butter of kine, and milk of sheep, with fat of lambs and rams, and the breed of Bashan, and goats, with the fat of kidneys of wheat. And thou did drink the pure blood of the grape. Deuteronomy 32:10-14. One writer notes in a commentary about this passage on the Song of Moses that the birth and childhood of the nation of Israel are described in verse 10. After the Exodus from Egypt, God guided, instructed, and preserved his people with the love of a mother eagle. There was no foreign God who had a part in Israel's preservation. Why then should the nation turn to idolatry and ascribe the goodness of Jehovah to another? Beginning in verse 13 of Deuteronomy 32, the song is prophetic. He brought them into the blessings of the promised land, unquote. And this is exactly the positioning of this song of Moses after God had delivered his people out of Egypt, and now he was leading them into the promised land. And this is just before the death of the beloved Moses. F.B. Meyer, concerning this song of Moses, which depicts the favor of God upon his people, writes the following. He says, "The song of Moses, like the fabled song of a swan, was his last, Moses's last song that he wrote, and sweetest. It is probably the noblest ode in the whole compass of the Bible, and is the source from which subsequent singers derived suggestions for their noblest outburst. The marginal references prove how deeply it dyed the national sentiment. It excels in the names and designations of the Almighty. He is the Rock, the Most High, God, El, the Strong. What a study are the names of God scattered through the Bible. Each was coined to meet some need of the human soul. What the rocks of the desert are to its shifting sands, God is amid the changes of this mortal existence." This earlier part of the song, Moses' song, is very tender. We are God's portion, the very apple of his eye, as young eaglets whom the mother bird is carefully teaching to fly, the favored recipients of God's richest gifts. F.B. Meyer. Notice the descriptive language, the metaphors, and how the Lord illustrates how he loves, protects, and provides for and guides his people. In Scripture, the Lord uses imagery on numerous occasions to communicate who he is, and that would include who he is to his own people. Psalm 91 gives us just such descriptive language. Notice in verse 1, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." Psalm 91, 1-4. As you read Psalms 91 on a regular basis, friends, this truth is going to permeate your life. Here, the Lord uses the imagery of winged fowl, quote-unquote, which is part of his creation, Genesis 1:21. God made this very creature, the bird, that is, for the express purpose of showing us how much he loves us and how he comforts, cares for, provides for, guides, and protects his own people, according to the imagery he gives us in Holy Scripture, such as we just read out of Psalm 91 and the Song of Moses in the 32nd chapter of the book of Deuteronomy. And before we pray, saints, remember as we close here that the Song of Moses, recorded in Deuteronomy 32 and spanning the whole chapter, is a prophetic poem given to Moses to the children of Israel, to the people of God of all ages, just before his death, serving as a witness and a reminder of God's faithfulness and Israel, or God's people's potential of falling or turning away from him. Let's pray, saints. Heavenly Father, please grant that I know and understand you more and more. Lord, I love you. Jesus, thank you for dying for my sins. You were buried and then raised again from the dead for my justification. Thank you for finding me and saving me and preserving my soul now and throughout all eternity as we dwell with you, Lord. For eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into our hearts, the people of God on earth, the things which you have prepared for those who love you. Lord, let us love you more. Let us be stricken with your fear in our hearts, O God. Unite our hearts to fear thy name, and let us never forget the potential of evil in us to turn away from you as Israel later did. But Lord, to say with Paul, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among his people and through his beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, even so, come Lord Jesus. Amen.